You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
I'm glad he didn't walk it back.
What's the appetite of people?
Hold him accountable.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Ryan and Jay here on the Friday edition of The Rush. Great round table as always. Christy Blatchford is here from the National Post.
Scott. Dale!
What?
Dale!
Whoa, careful! Mind the line, sister.
Easy now. Scott Reed, Newstalk 1010's political analyst. Good to see you. And Chris Chapin, partner at Upstream Strategy. Hello, all.
Hi.
I know.
And Christy's cold medication finally kicked in.
speaking of which, you know, listeners may not be aware of this, on Fridays, there used to be a tradition that when we came in, we would get a tall can of beer.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If
that tradition did exist, and I cannot confirm nor deny, I would probably point to the fact that my partner Ryan is on some sort of weird diet, where through the week he's a monk.
I would have blamed Doug Ford for cutting it.
He would.
I don't know how you missed that one. That was such
Ford
a low-hanging fruit.
Beer available to everybody, including radio hosts.
It's so mandatory.
I'd take a buck of beer.
All right.
What's your weird diet, Ryan?
I'm just losing some weight, Christy. Nothing big.
Mm-hmm. I'll talk to Jay later.
I don't drink during the week. I have a bit of a cheat day on Sundays. I start my morning with some steel cutouts, some raisins, some almonds. Is this fascinating for people?
I think so. Little cabbage soup. Punch yourself in the face.
I'm down 15 pounds since Labor Day, buddy.
God, you are a smoke show.
You achieve the same effect.
I saw what he ate on Sunday, so he's cheating on Sunday.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Christy?
You can achieve the same effect because you are a man, and therefore blessed in such matters, just by, you know, eating only half a loaf of bread a day instead of two.
Yeah, that's true, too.
That's a good point.
That's very true.
All right. Do
anybody else want to talk about my diet, or can we get into some
things? I got a few more questions.
I love that you're blushing. The Justin Trudeau brownface blackface conversation today taking to the international stage. Specifically, do we think he has been tarnished on the world stage? First up, U.S. President Donald Trump.
I was hoping I wouldn't be asked that question. It had to be you that asked it. You had to ask me that question, right, Justin? I'm surprised. And I was more surprised when I saw the number of times. And, you know, I've always had a good relationship with Justin. I just don't know what to tell you. I was surprised by it, actually.
Kathleen Wynn on News Talk 1010 today as well.
I think that it is very worrisome that people outside of the country are seeing this as a huge deal, because it is a big deal. It's a very bad thing. And he's tarnished in terms of international reputation.
I did just a quick straw poll last night, Christy, watching all the late night shows. It was really interesting that your sort of mass populist pop culture based shows like Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, they completely ignored the Trudeau story, where your Trevor Noah on The Daily Show and your Stephen Colbert, who's politically tinged, they did take a crack at it. So I'm not convinced it's going to affect him on the world stage. What are your thoughts?
I think it's not. And I think he's actually going to skate along on a huge steaming pile of BS and come out of this somehow very well. But just one quick thing before, I know Scott will have many things to say.
Many.
We did learn either late yesterday or today from the Liberal War Room that the third sort of incident apparently occurred when Mr. Trudeau was a whitewater, I'm going to sound like Elmer Fudd in a minute, whitewater rafting.
Oh, do you want to hear it in his own words? We can play it for you. Have a listen.
It was a costume day for river guides on the whitewater rafting in the whitewater rafting operation that I worked at in the summer of between 92 and 94, roughly.
A costume day for river guides, Christy.
But just imagine, I have done whitewater rafting, so I know that before you go, whether it's for a month or 2 day weekend, you pack, and you pack your suitcase, and you put in mosquito spray, you put in sleeping bag, ground sheet. Oh yeah,
a banana shirt.
Banana shirt and a jar of blackface makeup.
Amen.
Are you freaking kidding me? This guy has a thing about dressing up.
Yes.
Hey, I don't think there's any denying that. It's weird, man.
It's super weird.
It's weird, man. That being said, I'm with Christy, not with Premier Nguyen. I'm not on the same page in terms of like this, you know, oh my God, you know, we're tarnished on the world stage. Trudeau's brand is Canada's brand, and therefore we've all taken a hit. I mean, it's news because it's news, and it's not just news in Canada. It's news in the United States because he's a G7 leader and because he has a level of celebrity that exceeds most prime ministers, and therefore naturally, right? He's not former Prime Minister Paul Martin or Brian Mulroney, he's Prince Harry, right? Like, that's the level of celebrity in which he operates. And so, yeah, it's going to make news. But I don't really think it's... I don't think it's consequential, the outcome of the election. People are going to have a point of view about this, and I don't think how it plays on the international stage is going to be a big contribution to that. Sorry, Christy.
Not at all. Sorry for yelling over everybody. You have to read Vinay Menon in The Star, though,
today.
Yeah,
it's a great piece.
Yeah.
Oh, a brilliant piece. And one of his lines is that there are more pictures of Justin Trudeau as a brown man than there are of combined of my two grandfathers, both of whom were brown men.
Well, Trevor Noah's line? I just hate to see another black man being taken down. That's a pretty good line.
Here's where I'll disagree with both of you. It's the long-term play. If Justin Trudeau is reelected, and there's still obviously 32 days left for that to happen, I disagree. I think his reputation on the international stage has been diminished for a long time now. I think if you look at the country of India, he's seen as a joke for the show he put on when he was there. If China took him seriously, we wouldn't be holding the CFO of Huawei hostage in her home in Vancouver. And they wouldn't be putting us over the barrel, holding out our canola exports that's costing farmers in the prairies millions by the day. And it certainly would have changed the way Donald Trump handled him in the NAFTA negotiations. So I disagree with this notion that his reputation's fine. I think will he get past this one incident? Yeah, quite possibly.
Three incidents.
But three incidents. Dale. But at the end of the day, he's been seen as a joke on the international stage for a really long time.
At least the Saudis like us.
The great remaining question, though, is, it's not even a question. I think that we have to recognize what tremendous self-restraint Justin Trudeau showed on the trip to India, because we can be sure now that he had whatever blackface comes in, a jar. He had a jar or two with him, just in case, to go with all those nice costumes. And yet he didn't give in. So yay him.
Imagine the tour advisor telling him he couldn't put it on.
Now, we have to talk about the channel change today. Scott, you predicted this yesterday on the show, that he would one day be able to stand up and talk about actual policy
issues. It was just the next day.
It was just the next day. Didn't know it was going to happen so fast. But the Liberal leader now saying he was going to prohibit things that, well, quite frankly, are already prohibited.
But we know you do not need a military-grade assault weapon, one designed to kill the largest number of people in the shortest amount of time, to take down a deer.
Scott, you want to start on this one? I think that the Liberal leader was talking a complete bunch of nonsense today. He knows that people need licenses for guns. The rules are already strict, you know, some of the strictest
assault
you can possibly imagine.
Assault weapons are
already banned. The list goes on and on, but people buy this stuff.
Well, I mean, a couple of things. First, let me just talk about the pure politics of it. I do think that the move came too fast. I would have rather have seen this announcement on Monday. And I worry that, and I think this is an important announcement, and I would like to have this announcement taken 100% on its own merits, as opposed to being discussed at least in part as a political tactic. So I would have given this issue another day, and I do worry that it appears as though he's trying to say, okay, now this is behind me. On the merits of it itself, I'm sorry, I'm just not with you, man. Like, you know, yeah, a bunch of the things you say are true. By the way, let's just be crystal clear. The AR-15 is a semi-automatic weapon that can be modified, and therefore it will be captured by this change. And that is not a...
How many shootings have taken place with the AR-15?
I know. You can
Canada?
Say that.
No,
you know
but,
what?
No, but that's like a pretty important fact.
Well, here's my view. More rules that make it harder for guns that just kill people is a good thing. And you can say, well, those rules stack on top of other rules, and maybe they don't matter.
First of all, they're not the guns that are killing people, and the people with licenses aren't the ones doing the shooting.
Hey, man, I'm not a gun nut, okay? Like, I actually come from...
Why does it get phrased as a gun nut? That's what drives me nuts. Like,
hang on.
These guys are legal
gun
owners.
Can I finish, Chris?
No,
Jesus.
Probably not.
Okay. So, look, I come from a family where we have guns and we have a hunting camp. I'm not, like, crazy anti-gun, but I am for these measures, because I think more rules that make it harder for people to have guns and make it harder for people that want to bring guns into the country, that is a good thing. More hard rules is a good thing.
All right, Chris.
Well, how many guns has the killings has the Reed family taken, you know, over the years as legal gun owners?
I had a cousin who went nuts and assaulted his wife with a weapon. And you know what? The guy should never have been allowed to own weapons again. But guess what? He actually was able to own weapons after 5 years. So this crap does happen. So that's the answer, explicitly.
That sucks that there was that instance in your family. I just still, there's like...
It happens in a lot of families.
250,000 AR-15s or assault weapons that are going to be clawed back because of this. Not one of them has ever been used in a... We just try to project
ourselves. And every single one of them could be. So let's get rid of the damn things.
So should every kitchen knife.
No, they're not the same thing. You can't kill 50 people with a kitchen knife.
But this is the issue, though. The Prime Minister, or Justin Trudeau, he's not the Prime Minister right now, stood on Danforth today trying to use the backdrop of the shooting that took place on Danforth as the justification for why we needed this assault ban in the first place. The guy that did the shooting on the Danforth didn't use an AR-15. He used a pistol.
Christy?
I have nothing to say except for Deo! My channel will not be changed.
That's the biggest issue, I think. Will it be changed?
Yeah.
Canadian homeowners today were learning or
guys came all in friendly, by the way.
Yeah,
it was like it's got frosty.
It was the Deos.
Canadian homeowners who accessed their home equity through a loan or refinancing are helping to fuel household spending in recent years, according to the Bank of Canada. Today, spending moving in a similar direction to house prices over roughly the past decade, both rising sharply over the last few years, according to staff. In 2017, household spending jumping 3.51%, house prices advancing almost 14%. The big numbers here. In 2017, researchers find that Canadian homeowners extracted $89 billion in home equity through two methods, with more money coming through the HELOC loans, borrowing against their homes. Now, they're pulling out this money to buy televisions, to buy furniture, to go on vacations, to buy cars. And a lot of people are starting to wonder if this is a recipe for disaster, Christy.
Did you say Christy or Chris?
I said Christy.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think it's an irresistible thing to do, though. You see, you know, your house value going up in price. You see that you have, you know, not a huge chunk of mortgage to pay off. And you think, well, I'll borrow I'll take out a line of credit against my mortgage and we'll have a nice family vacation or something. And before you know it, you're treating it like an ATM. It's, you know, it's something you got to watch very carefully.
Yeah. Is it irresistible, Scott? Is it one of those things that you look at and you think to yourself, man, it's pretty easy to access that. Why don't I use it?
I don't know if it's irresistible, but I think it's a challenge. And we've seen, and this isn't the first time we've had this discussion. It was a challenge about 10 years ago when they tamped down on these rules and made access to HELOCs a little bit less generous. It conjures up a whole bunch of other issues. Who are the people that are most tempted do this, right? It's people who are near retirement. So rather than sell and downscale, they're extracting the value early, using it to sustain a life in retirement. And hey, there's no shame in that. But one thing it does mean for sure is that a house isn't going out of the market or being passed to the kids. And so we end up in a whole other economic cycle.
Chris, very quickly.
When I own a home and have this temptation, I'll get back to you.
Okay, fair enough. Chris Chapin, Scott Reed. You two should go have a beer somewhere, just maybe across the street.
Who's got the blackface?
Yes. Send me the bill, okay? Christy, thank you as well. Have a great weekend.
You too.
So much more to come as The Rush continues.